There are some things you should always check, like the hygiene rating on your local takeaway, the setting on your razor, and whether the party actually is fancy dress. The other thing you should check is your Experian credit report, especially if you're looking to borrow money. It lets you understand what lenders see, so you can increase your chances of getting the best deals. It's dead easy to check it, and completely free. See it in seconds. Download the Experian app today.
But then you get PD files, the PDF files.
Oh, tough name, but you know what? I'm on board with it.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely demolished a pigeon this morning. Isn't Charmhu a toilet roll?
Charming.
Hello, and welcome back to the Cream Podcast, brackets this time outside.
Yes.
Number 42.
We've had a class outside today. Yeah. Our teachers were very, you know, they said, you know what, you've been well behaved this term, end of term, you can have work outside.
Now, this three-man podcast is myself, Will.
Yes.
And Edwin, to the right of me, and then behind the camera, Ben. Ben has gone to get his sunglasses because if you are listening and you can't see things right now, me and Edwin are sat here in sunglasses because it's sunny.
It's very sunny. We're outside in our paddock, which is where we store loads of cars. If you're a visual viewer, you can see the Evo behind, the Jaguar XFR, which you'll soon see. So the reason that we're out here is because Robin from Viking Detail is detailing the cars in the unit, and it's too loud. Nice of you to join us, Benjamin.
Sorry about that.
Could you say your line?
Hello.
Lovely. Ooh. There we go. And sorry. Benjamin. At the beginning of every Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast, we answer the question, do cars rule or ruin everything around us? Will, also please note, there's going to be aeroplanes and burbs and all sorts of gods, creatures around. So just bear with us on the audio.
We are at the will of nature, unfortunately. It's a ruin.
It's a ruin.
It's a ruin. Over the weekend, I decided I haven't touched the McGann since our track day, which was actually quite a while ago now.
Yep.
It's had no brakes for a while. I thought, you know what? I'm gonna get at it, see what I can do. I had a new caliper to fit and some braided lines, and then I was going to fault find from there on. And it was all going very well, fitting my new caliper with a braided brake line. All amazing. All went very, very well. Got to the driver's side and snapped the brake line.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And I've been trying to find, I was trying to find the parts, if it's easy enough to just replace the line and not do a sort of body repair. You just can't find it. So I need to find someone or pay for that or find like an actual parts diagram because no one sells it. So that was annoying. It's a ruin. Everything else is fine.
Mm.
It's just that was the one because I fitted my seats actually.
They
have no seat belts currently.
Oh, you don't
need belt buckles. They have belts.
Okay, so you can put them across.
Yeah.
They just Bluetooth.
I had a brief, not madness moment, but a brief thought that I would buy harnesses.
Okay.
I might still, but I don't think
that requires you to buy a cage. Oh, no, you have a bar that goes across the back.
No, that won't. I'd have to buy a cage.
Okay,
or a harness bar, but ideally a cage, I think, for safety reasons.
Okay.
I told my girlfriend and she went, "What?"
Hey, you know that car that's not very practical right now? Yeah, we're going to make it unpractical. Yeah.
I've taken all the back seats out. Oh, and you have to put five belts on before you go out anywhere.
Lovely.
But yeah, it's a ruin.
Okay, great.
You?
For me, this week, it is a rule.
Ooh.
Because this podcast is not going to go out by the time I'm speaking about what I'm speaking about. Is it?
Monterey?
No, the TVR.
The TVR?
No, it will be the Monday after. Ben's shaking. You can speak on this.
This comes out on Monday.
No,
the podcast comes out on Thursday, as you're watching this. The video comes out on Monday.
So 4 days later.
Yes.
So they won't have seen even... The reason that it is a rule for me is we took the TVR to the diner.
They'll have seen that.
They have seen it.
Yeah, they will have seen that this week. They won't know what happens in the finale.
Apologies. Well, neither do we, because that's being filmed tomorrow.
It's true.
You know, this is such a streamlined and good podcast. We know what we're talking about. Yes, it's a rule because I took the TVR to the dyno and it made 415 horsepower and 430 pound-foot of torque.
That is ridiculous.
It is really dumb for a car that weighs a ton. If you aren't aware, I've put a turbo on an old TVR Camaro, and you know what? It's quite funny. Also, this wasn't in the video, but Ben and I went out for a drive in it while we were still ironing out the map, and it was making 3 more PSI on that map. So feasibly, Ben and I went out in a 450 horsepower TVR while it was drizzling, mental. No less. So
it was mental.
Was that good for you, Ben?
Yeah, it was fun. Quite scary.
It was.
I want to try and quantify it for them. I think it is.
Was it being like in a turbo TVR Chimera?
Yeah.
It was about right.
Imagine, everyone, imagine a TVL Camaro.
Okay.
And then imagine giving it more horsepower.
Okay, I like that.
Sort of that sort of speed.
Like around about that.
Yeah, no, it's probably quicker than the Jag, probably quicker than the E55 we had.
Yeah.
Which sounds mental to say, but
it's I'm excited for tomorrow. I'm worried. Mm. I am worried because it has been, I mean, it's yet to be proven. And yeah, we're taking it on a go-kart track tomorrow.
Now, at least a go-kart track. That is, it's slightly...
Spoiler.
You know, yes, it is a spoiler. We're going to a go-kart track, which we've actually always wanted to do with full-size cars, which is dumb. Especially with a 400 horsepower TV.
It made sense for your car before.
Yeah.
A VX220, that'll be fun.
It's a go-kart.
I'm going to be scared.
Yeah.
I'm going to be scared.
Yeah. Or you're just never... You may never get boost.
No, I'm just going to be driving around on 200 horsepower.
You're going to be driving around like just below 2,000 RPM.
But so, yeah, for that reason, it's a rule for me. I enjoyed it. Also, shout out to Charlie at Surrey Rolling Road, because while we were there, he said, I was speaking to him about some video ideas, and he said, I've got one of those. Oh, and I've got one of those. I said, can we have those things, Charlie? And he said, yeah, come use it whenever. So we have some cool thiggies on the way.
Yeah, interesting.
Benjamin.
Hi.
Talk to me.
It's a... ruin.
Oh,
now because I've got my Clio back now, which is great, but I do now need to get my X5, my daily, sorted out. It needs a few little bits and bobs, a bit of maintenance here, a bit of maintenance there, and it also needs a service now, which is great.
It doesn't need it. Like, need.
What do you mean, need it?
Like, it would be nice.
Well, it needs tires.
Yeah.
Does it need them?
Well, it doesn't, yeah, but it, like, needs a service. You could run them a bit more bold.
Not
look, there are lots of people out there bold and happy and content.
And
are you trying
true.
To say that they should not be bold?
Listen, I would personally not like to be bold.
Wow, that's actually crazy. Okay. You know what? Please, we apologize. On behalf of the Cream Podcast, we apologize.
I'm
for
not
Ben's.
Judging you being bold. I just don't want to be bold myself.
They're tight. Like, your front is perfectly good, but the rear is back. You're going for that sort of odd bold. You're balding at the back, but the front is absolutely spot on.
Yeah, he's going for the reverse monk.
Yeah.
He's going for the Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah, so I need to get... tires, I need to get a few sensors down on it because BMW things, and a service, which I was like, oh, I don't need a service. I had a service done in February. I forgot I drive here.
You
so
do.
Miles just rack up.
You know that guy, Miles.
Yeah.
You're quite familiar with him.
My guy's
you're
big.
Doing him.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That's a tough you're doing
so,
Miles.
So ruin for now. I mean, it's not necessarily ruin. It's just long.
It's a general ruin.
Yeah.
You know, not, general of course.
You're
know.
Not up.
Huh?
You're not up right now.
Yeah.
No, I'm sort of, yeah. But I'm not.
You're not down.
I'm not down yet. I'm just in the middle.
It's right in the middle.
Exactly.
But on like a grot, you're on sort of like a downwards trend.
Yeah. Just generally in my life.
Yeah.
Ben, you're on that Goldilocks thing right now. You're on that just right.
If we were making predictions for the next quarter, you're looking down.
Yeah.
Trending
this quarter, down. This quarter has been good. It's been borderline fruitful with the Clio being back.
Okay.
But next quarter, we're projecting sales to decline.
Next quarter is fruity.
Fruity?
Yeah.
Fruit tea?
Yeah.
What?
No, it's fruity.
Oh, it's fruity.
Q3, yeah. you're building. There's going to be costs.
Yeah,
but Q4 is when we fight.
We're going to invest in Q3 and Q4. We're going to try and get back up to sort of like breaking even.
Okay,
and hopefully in Q1 we're going into profit again.
You know what they say? You got to spend money to make money. That's
exactly.
What they
or in the case of every car, you got to spend money to spend money.
You got to spend money to lose money.
Yeah.
Shall we move? Now we have some small anecdotes and uses.
Small, nothing too much, but this has happened before and it's gone on for a long time. So let's see where we go. I only have one news that I looked at 5 minutes before we started this podcast.
Course.
Everything else looked boring.
Do you know what anything that's current news?
It is. This is the most current news in a week. This is a week behind, but fine. I saw a Patrol Nismo.
Okay.
Nissan?
Patrol
Nismo. Like the old Patrol is like the thing that people in the Middle East make of 9 million horsepower and send them off of sand dunes and stuff. And I thought, I didn't even know there was a current Patrol or Nismo or anything like that. And I thought, what sort of engine are we in there? It's a V... Someone's going to correct me or say, it's either a VR35 or a VQ35 DETT.
Okay, so
twin turbo, 500 horsepower.
Related to basically an ETR engine.
So it's a 3.5-litre twin turbo. I saw that, I was like, hold on a minute.
Hello, mate.
There's a Nissan just out here, like busting out twin turbo 350Z engines.
Only for the UAE and the Middle Eastern markets.
I've still got
Nissan. Don't tell anyone we're doing this for you.
There's 500 horsepower.
That's
in an SUV.
So hold on. How much was the original GTR? 507?
585 ish.
Oh, really? It wasn't 500.
Apparently, they made more, but yeah.
So, so it was more than an original
more powerful,
GTR.
Yeah.
Crazy.
With a smaller engine. I've just dropped my lid. Oh, well. That's all the news.
Okay,
that's
great.
All the news. Would you like?
Well,
the
we
next...
have some anecdotes and things.
Now, something Ben you put in last week that intrigued me, and on purpose I haven't said it to you. Roadside pick and pull. What?
Yes, There is an impromptu pick and pull happening. If you live in near the Bath area,
okay,
junction Bath. 18 or 17 on the M4. If you just come off that junction, there is a quite badly crashed. I think it's an Audi Q3, and I saw it was crashed recently. There was like a whole commotion.
You weren't involved.
No, it was okay. I was just in the traffic after it happened.
Emergency services at the scene?
Not on
his watch.
Anyway, that car I then came, because I go back and forward, obviously through there quite often. I then came past there the next day, and it was like that car that had been smashed up. We're talking front wheel is hanging off.
Ooh.
We're talking like front end. It looked quite bad. But the car has been now, I believe, just abandoned in the lay-by there. And every time I drive past, something disappears from it. And it's become a pick and pull. I believe that. I don't know whether that's true.
So someone with a Q3 with, let's say, a missing wing mirror might go,
What I will say is, imagine a car that has been crashed. And okay. Basically, the front end smashed in, but it has all its wheels and wing mirrors and everything. But now the lights are gone.
Okay.
It's got no wheels.
No wheels? Wow.
That's no wheels, but it's got...
But hold on, did you say one wheel came off with a crash? So someone's only got a set of three.
No, so the imagine the hub and that bit of subframe is like hanging off, but like folded around. It's still there. The wheel is attached to the hub, but the hub is ripped off.
But surely that's smashed.
Possibly.
Surely you can't be got, you know what, full low mileage set of wheels. Only one is folded in half.
I don't know the story.
Oh, well, that up, lovely.
I don't know what happened. I don't know why it's been abandoned. All I know is I keep driving past it and every time something disappears from it. You it's mental. What?
Kind of fair as like a crash. I've only ever seen it once on a forum, on the Clio forum, actually. A man crashed his car on like a nice country road and rolled it. And he just took a picture of it, rolled in like a lay-by or wherever it was, like in a ditch, and just said, breaking Clio on
A2. Yeah, yeah. I've seen that.
Said, like, here's the location of the start. Like, if you want to come and get stuff, just come and get it.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And, the insurer should go, look, we'll do the payout.
Yeah.
Like, you're not buying the car back afterwards, but you know, any money you make from there,
if it's there,
it's yours, mate.
Yeah,
it's yours.
You know, it's the adage of the roadkill. If you hit it, you can't take parts off it.
Yeah,
if you're involved in the accident, you may not take parts.
That'll
off
be
the
wild.
Car. I'm gonna the next person that comes along, he may take your fog light. That's allowed.
I won't follow a Bugatti. I'm going to follow someone following a Bugatti and just fingers crossed.
Imagine you get T-bone in your car and then the guy gets out and you think he's going to say sorry to you, but he just comes around and starts unscrewing your wing mirror.
Oh, I'll have that, mate.
Yeah, yeah. We're written off anyway, isn't it, mate? Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
But it's mental. I can update you next week. But yeah, so far, I think this morning when I drove past, it was a Q3, basically. Imagine a hover car, but it hasn't hovered yet. It's just now on the ground, no wheels. No lights, no wing mirrors. I haven't actually checked anything else, but it's just that, or it's a roading. I don't know. It's been there a while. Just,
it's decomposing. But
what is the legality of that? That's my question.
I would say illegal.
I'd say stealing is fairly illegal.
No, because it's stealing. Hold on, but it's also an abandoned car. It has a sticker on it.
But it is still okay. But I still don't think it's like, if there's an abandoned house, can you just
steal
nick the front door off it?
That front door's lovely though.
But then who would come and get you?
The police usually.
Yeah, like there's like,
so we have this thing, okay. In most countries actually have it, where if you do things that are illegal, there's like a specific force that will try and
I've never seen
execute
them.
On that.
Ooh. Must be behind me the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I know it's illegal to steal, obviously. But I'm saying
obviously I'm not taking parts of this Q3.
Ben's boot full of Q3 parts. But like, I know it's illegal, but like what are they worth? Like what's a quarter worth?
But like, is a policeman gonna catch me?
Well, but it's an abandoned car, right?
Yeah.
But also, my other question is, why is it not being taken away? Why is it just there?
I assume there are annoying bureaucratic technicalities.
External
and
factors at
remember
play.
Remember, we went to that services. I think this was all of us, actually. And there was just a Peugeot.
No.
Oh, just mashed. In the middle of a services car park. And it was there for months.
Months and months and months. That was on the M25 coming back from, what do you call it, Folkestone. Was it South Mimms or something? Worst services.
Yeah, bad one.
Horrible. And that, yeah, that mashed up. It's like quite a rare one as well. It's like a 5.0 something.
Like a newer one.
Yeah.
But mashed.
Completely mashed. And it sat there for months.
And it
months.
Said like police aware.
We saw it when we came back from on Carthrall on the way back from the golf trip.
And which would have been in July of 2023, and then in April 2024, it was still there.
It's still there.
But I want to know...
Could be crime.
Okay, so it's abandoned.
Stolen.
I understand
crime.
It's abandoned.
Secret ingredient.
But surely the insurer, if they're paying out, want that car then to get rid of? Or was it involved in a...
Yeah, of course. But then maybe they didn't go through... what's called? Sorry, if you can hear the dulcet tone of a PD engine. That's just Dan, the artist, leaving. Also, something that we were talking about earlier. I was saying PD engines. Bullshit.
Oh, yeah, I can't.
It's ridiculous. I don't understand it. There's going to be so many people right now going, oh, it's the best engine in the world. It is a sewing machine fitted to dull Volkswagens.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Are they pushrod?
I don't know what that means. Is in PD engines?
Yeah.
That's what PD stands for.
Push this.
Is it actually?
I don't know.
I swear someone said that. But that feels to me like old technology.
Well, PD is very old technology.
Is it?
Yeah.
They possibly could not be, an interesting could, question. I just wondered if it was.
No, they could very well be. You may be right.
Because whenever I hear pusher, I think it's like an old engine.
You'll have PD people in the comments going, you'll actually find that the 105 was not actually technically a PD. It was actually a
What I don't get is that, like, if you come to me and say, I have, like, there is a Skoda Octavia just behind Benjamin there, aka Miles, called so because he has 400 plus thousand miles. A famous car in these regions. I understand that. I'm like, someone has just used the living hell out of a normal car because it's got a very reliable engine. But then you get the PD files, the pediophiles.
Oh, tough name, but you know what? I'm on board with it. The pediophiles.
And they go, actually, I took a 105. It's now running 400 brake.
Yeah.
Honestly, all it was is a massive turbo, injectors, all the silicon hoses, all the fueling. Oh, so the same as every other turbocharged car then. And they go, no, honestly, they're really tunable. Okay.
I just don't get it. I don't get the joke on it.
It still revs to four, though,
doesn't it? I know they're capable. And I know people have been modifying them for years, and they're reliable. Hence why I've just named all the reasons why it's popular. But I just don't get why there's like a fan base. It's not even just a respect thing. I wouldn't drive anything other than a PD. It's the best engine in the world.
But they're reliable though, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely they are.
It's the performance aspect. I don't know, maybe, again, we all have our own tastes and some of people just don't have much taste. And that it's the noise they make. And
the clackety noise annoys me. Here we go.
As far as I'm aware, they're not pushed. I don't know who told me that or where I found it out, but add it to the list of things.
Okay. Misinformation.
Fabrication.
That's our misinformation of the week. You know what? We always have to keep the listeners guessing. They have to go, are they?
You know what? It's clickbait. We want you to be raging as Ben says something and we're going, it's all lies.
I didn't say it. I asked it as a question.
No, I know. I'm not saying you did. But I'm saying it's quite nice to keep the level of misinformation just a little.
It's a mad thing. That's the first time I've just gone on my phone and looked it up.
Yeah, it could have.
I didn't know you could do that. Just wherever you are, whenever you want.
Meanwhile, the world's information in your pocket. What we got next?
I put in the Head King S2000.
Yeah, I kept looking at that. It looks like something I'd see in a Need for Speed game, where it's like a boss.
Not quite.
What is it?
It's better than that. So I'm very, very sorry that someone messaged me and or TDC this.
Okay.
I looked at the message,
and
noted it down, and didn't respond, and I don't know your name. If you have a name, please comment, and whoever it is, just claim it. Someone claim this.
If you know anything about anything at all,
they claim to have found the best bullshit tire brand. And there is a tire called the Head King S2000.
Now, Ben, if I have ever found a tire for you to be running on a car.
Where's that?
It's got two of your favourite things.
S2000. Now that.
It's got your nickname and your favourite car on it.
Great.
But so far, we've had Head King S2000, the Batman.
The Charm Hoos.
I mean, Charm, also, is it Ling Long that made it out of the trenches?
Ling Long made it out of the trenches, Ling and Long. I hope to see the Head King up running on a Range Rover suit.
Like on a Skoda or
OEM,
something.
OEM, just from the factory.
Who's the first bullshit brand to make? But Dacia's good.
Yeah,
and
but
it, and it's like, there's Renault there and stuff, but I want
mainstream.
I want to see it on a
Volkswagen.
Big German.
Or
a supercar. Like one of their track tires makes it to like a GT3 RS.
That would be quite good.
Like the Ling Long Cup.
The Ling Long RS.
Ling Long, and that's the like a Nürburgring record holder. And someone says, oh, geez, what tires are you running on that thing? And goes, you're running the Cup 5s.
Yeah, we've got the Charm Hoo pluses on this one.
isn't Charm Hoo a toilet roll?
Charming.
they could be interchangeable.
Yeah.
Charmins. It's my Charmins.
I got the Charmins on there.
But that was good. Anyone else who's got, keep sending in just
ridiculous tire names. One of our favourite pastimes.
I only thought there was a selection of like four or five, but it turns out this is ever growing.
is that another tire brand?
Ever growing. Evergreen.
Evergreen
is, yeah. we talked about this the other day, and oh, I'm recording a voice note. Very sorry.
well, you don't need to make recording. It's the main thing.
And that is A4, A5 bullshit.
Now, this is ridiculous. This is,
I love paper.
We were
artists for no reason. Right.
We were in our lunch area talking about stuff.
Brackets,
and
our workshop.
Our workshops. And we, I don't actually know, we think we were talking about electric cars for some reason.
We were talking about lease deals, because we said, Ben, it would make sense for Ben to look into them. And we said, what lease deals can you get?
Yeah.
And then you said, you made a statement, which I was like, no, you're wrong.
I went on Auto Trader. I just want to see what's out there. Like, what's brand new or nearly new that I don't know about. And I went on Audi and I went down the, you know, you have like the model variants and stuff. And it said A5 Avant. And I had to double take.
For people that are not as automotive inclined, an A5 was a car brought out by Audi, which was a coupe A4.
Yeah.
A two-door A4. An Avant from Audi means it is a four-door wagon.
Mm.
Therefore, meaning A5 and Avant cannot go together.
Because that's what the A4 was.
There's no world in which it makes sense.
Now, you know something about something, Ben. You know something about this?
No, I don't really want to say it because I could be wrong. This was a while ago. I think this happened now. From what I understand, they've swapped them. So the actual model of the A5, so the physical car A5, is now gone.
Okay.
I believe. That is no longer a thing.
The coupe.
The coupe slash, you can also get a five-door coupe.
Yep.
Does it?
Also ridiculous.
Which is just a, because also you can get a like five-door saloon, the A4.
Yep.
Which is a more sweeper version. From what I understand, and we'll have to double check this.
We will.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure now the actual physical car of the A4 exists still, the wagon. Makes sense. That's a cool car. We like it. But now that is called A5.
So, okay. So hold on. So if I walk into a dealership right now and I say to Audi, I would like to buy an Audi A4. Yep. They would say that doesn't exist.
They would say,
what the hell are you talking about?
I don't know.
Never, sir, we've never built a car called the A4. But what I'm asking is all of the A4s now mashed in with the A5s?
So the new Audi A5 is a redesigned model replacing the A4 and S4. With both saloon and estate style. So basically, A5, physical car, gone.
So there's
the
now
name
no
A5
longer
has been put on A4.
So you cannot buy a coupe A4.
I don't know.
Body style, as in the thing that looked like an A5, you may no longer have that. Instead, you may have an A4, which is called an A5.
Imagine being an elderly person for one moment.
A tough one.
That's quite funny. That's
true though, isn't it?
All right. Matt Damon sunglasses.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, integrated shipping solutions that actually save you time. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com/setup.
At Betway Casino, new customers stake £10 and get 150 free spins. Download the Betway Casino app today. 18 plus, T's and C's apply. BeGambleAware.org.
Well,
Jesus Christ, it's Jason Bourne.
Anyway, just imagine for a sec, you are old. I say older than me. You're quite old. Like, you're so old that you forget stuff.
Okay.
But, you know, you get people, they go, I've always bought an A5. Or I've always bought an A4.
Yeah.
And they go into an Audi dealership and go, I'd like to trade in my old A5 and buy the new A5. And they go,
huh?
Here's your A5. And they go, no, that's an A4. And they go, no, that's an A5 now. Can I have an A4? No, you can't have an A4. But this is an A4. Why is it called an A5? Who's going out of their way? Also, these are Germans. These are sensible people.
You should be, yeah.
They understand what's going on. But them and BMW suddenly decided one day, let's mess it all up.
Why? Yeah, I regularly think about that.
Forget everything
The BMW thing.
Yeah.
You said, okay, the M3, we know it's always be him. The M4, the two-door, cool. The 4 should be the two-door, three-door, the 4. What are you doing?
Also, the M3, one of your most possibly your most famous in terms of like motorsport, not motorsport, like performance stuff. Everyone knows what an M3 is. And you went, oh, that's an M4 now.
Yeah.
Now, granted, I would admit, everyone understands that now.
They do. That's true.
It's now, everyone knows what's going on, but I'd still prefer it.
Everyone knows something about something now.
People know some things.
Yeah.
But it's just, if anyone knows anything about anything at all related to Audis or any other horse manure, car related things. Names, please let us know.
I just don't understand. That I just don't get it. I also don't get why.
I scrolled through the Auto Trader thing and it was A, everything. There was a million different Audis.
There is now, or there has been, we were talking about it the other day, every A until 8.
A1.
A1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Six. There's no 6.
A6?
Q, oh, A. Sorry, a. I'm thinking.
And then
Qs.
You've got Q1, 2, 3, 4, 5, no 6, 7 and 8. There's too
Q8?
Many cars,
oh, yeah,
man.
Q8 is that
you've got
guy,
too
yeah.
many cars.
Q8.
Bring it back. Run it back.
Stupid.
What else we got?
Let's move on to the next thing. Edwin, you've put in a sketchiest car.
Yes, this was I'll get my phone now. It was a news article. Where is my phone, Ben? Can you see my phone from here?
On the floor by your foot.
Lovely.
Leave it in.
Right. Okay. So I got served an Instagram reel, and it was in Australia, and it was about they had pulled over the sketchiest car they had ever seen. Now, what I'm going to read you the issues with this car, and you're going to tell me what car it was. Here we go. Here it is. So this car, police stunned by unruly car. A man has been caught by police driving a car with no bonnet over the engine, a plastic garden chair as the driver's seat, along with lots of other missing parts and things. Can we get one guess each, or just quickly, on what car it was?
Is it a TVR Chimera?
No. It's also got no back seats and no seatbelt mounting points. Benjamin?
What's the old Honda?
And it's a BMW E36.
Makes sense.
And the moment I saw it, I thought, God damn it. Why are we like this? Why are E36 people like this? Because all the comments were, checks out, E36.
Yeah.
And these weren't car pages posting it. These were news articles.
Sorry, what was his chair?
It was a lawn chair.
Like a garden.
Plastic lawn chair. There you go. That is a legitimate.
I got the news at 6.
Oh, you got the news at 6. There you go. Sorry. I'll turn it over to you. But yeah, a legitimate...
Oh, wow. With a cushion, though.
Yeah, but like a proper beach one. Like one of the plastic ones that you can run and kick the leg out of.
Was it secured or was it just loose?
No, just loose. Just completely loose. Okay. But I thought that is... You know what? People...
Brazen.
It's... The jokes write themselves.
Mm.
The cars, people do it to themselves. As much as people go, oh, no, not all owners, not all dogs.
It's not.
It is. Yeah. With cars, it is.
It's deep rooted in
it. You buy a car, you join the club. Yeah. It is how it is. It's how
that
it goes.
That is quite extreme, though.
Of course. Ben, you used to say that you were a timid driver. You were not aggressive on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Since buying the X5, tell me that it hasn't increased. Because I'll fully admit, my first BMW, I started driving like a dickhead.
Yeah, I'm penis. Yeah.
I can't tell you why, man. Because I have no want to drive like a penis.
There's something about driving a car like that where you have, even if you don't have them, your balls enlarge. And if you don't have them, you get some. And you go, right, I could take anyone right now. And that's why these people get beaten up sometimes.
Yeah.
Ben, what are you like on the road?
I'm all right.
Okay.
You don't talk about it?
We don't talk about that.
No, I'm fine. I'm just normal.
Okay, but no, but as a comparison.
I'm just a normal boy.
Everyone always calls me slow.
You are.
That is
slow.
Quite slow. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but doing the speed limit, you're slow.
But like, let's say you've gotten out of the... Actually, no, that's a bad comparison, but I'm going to go with it. You're Clio. You get out of the Clio.
Yeah.
And you get in the X5.
Yeah.
How does your driving change? Because it has to change car to car.
It gets a bit better, to be fair.
Do you? Okay, but let me paint you a picture.
Yeah.
You're at a junction in the Clio.
My eyes are shut. You can't see them, but they are shut.
Okay, lovely. Now carry on for the rest of the podcast. No, you're pulling out of a junction in the Clio.
Sure.
You're pulling out the same junction, same all of the things in the X5. It's a busy junction. There is, you know, you're not getting much space. Are you not just pulling out in the X5?
Yeah, but the thing is that probably.
Because it's part of that survival.
Exactly. Yeah. Because you think, and it's the reason why everyone buys a crossover instead of a wagon or a hatchback. Yeah. It's because they go, big car means I'm safe.
Yeah,
it's like, I will pull out and no one will hurt me.
It's like doing bomb defusal in your shorts if you're out in the Clio.
Yeah,
if you're in the full bomb suit, I'll defuse that.
Yeah, put me in.
Even if it goes wrong, like, what's the worst that could happen? I could get blown away, but I'm good.
But like, it's fair. It's a weird psychological thing. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right to act like a penis.
But it's.
But naturally, you do it.
And if anyone disagrees, they're wrong.
Yeah.
They're wrong. I would admit as well, I am more peaceful in an automatic car.
Absolutely. The Ben, you will confirm.
Yeah.
My silver E36 316 auto has 70 horsepower.
Mm.
I am legitimately driving like a 70-year-old man in it. I drive at like 65 on motorways.
Possibly the only option you have.
No. But, yeah, well, true. But like, it's because I just have no want to do it.
Yeah, you're not doing risky stuff. Well, anyway, but you're not doing risky stuff, like riskier stuff.
But having a, like, this is a Jay videographer. He's actually the opposite of this. He comes to us and the discoveries that they've got, the Big Pete and the very unreliable
Blue Peter.
One, the very unreliable cars. Now, one of them got a V8 put in it and it was slightly lower and blah, blah, blah. And he said he drove it and he's like, yeah, you know, but the turning's just not there. And I'm like, some people just don't adapt to the car they drive. They go, I have my way of driving and I will drive every car in this fashion, whether it's a Range Rover, a tank, a helicopter, or a Renault Clio track car. I'm going to drive exactly the same.
Just weaving in and out of traffic in the helicopter. Yeah. Just kind of get out of a lane too.
Isn't the turning just appalling on this 747? Am I not doing my barrel rolls?
Just kicking the back out as we come across the landing strip.
Jay is going to listen to this and go, no, actually, I don't think. But that's
right, Jay catching straight. What is turning?
Turning.
Yeah.
So the steering wheel will be grounding.
Turn in.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, yeah, you move that either way and the car kind of moves in the direction.
Okay, perfect. Next segment.
It is. If you think of it in the most logical way, that's what it is.
But what is it?
Now, okay. Now here's,
because I always hear that. You always do the example of the nerdy person driving. It's always, a turning is amazing.
Now,
I don't know what that means.
I'm going to agree. I had the same discussion with my girlfriend the other night. For the life of me, I would say you and I have driven many more cars, like performance cars, in decently hard than the average person.
Yeah.
I will watch a, not so much a Top Gear, but like a Fifth Gear or a car reviewing channel, and I have no clue what they're talking about.
Yeah,
when they talk about the front end just rotates nicely as you come into it, I don't understand what you're talking about. I don't know what it means. I feel like I've driven more cars than most, and I still don't know what it means.
You may as well put it on the screen in wingdings.
Because I don't get it. Yeah. And I don't think I ever will, no matter how many cars I drive, which is why Top Gear was always successful. Because the image of saying, it feels like shooting a bear with a gun, means more to me than you saying, the Ackerman angle on this means that the turning is fresh. I don't get it. I don't understand it. So Ben, I'm with you.
I've got in other cars and gone, this feels better.
Exactly.
This feels worse, but I've never once, I don't know what that means. And then people go, oh, it's biting so well. What do you mean? It's on the road.
I believe that it's the reason I will never be a good automotive journalist, and I could never be an automotive journalist, because I will get in from one car to the other, and it's more about how I feel driving than it is about something tangible, if that makes sense. I can't tell you that it has, that one car is 0.3 of a star more out of 5 stars than the previous car. I can say I liked that one.
Yeah.
That one felt nice.
I always think with car journalism, and car journalists feel free to defy this and come at me. But I always think that depending on like the big guy in the industry, people change their opinion based on that. Like, let's say Chris Harris goes out and drives the latest Toyota Aygo hard on track. And he goes, my God, isn't the turn-in fantastic? And these seats are so supple and the suspension is a little bit crashy. And all the other journalists go, I think the suspension is a little bit crashy. Mm. The seats are very supple and the turn-in is fantastic. Because then otherwise, if you're the one who goes away from it, everyone goes, well, that's just lies.
Yeah.
But there's always one, though. Who goes, this is what I think, really.
Yeah. But then are they the truth bearers?
No, they're the ones that want the clicks.
The only thing that I've ever noticed that with, and I thought, oh, actually, no, I did pick up on that, is when we bought the for Car Throttle, Ethan had that Mark 1 Focus, the yellow one.
Yes.
I drove it around quite a bit, and I, at multiple occasions, thought, this feels fun. Mm. Like, this is a kind of fun feeling car to drive, and it feels good. And then over the years, I keep seeing people who were like reviewing them back in the day, and lots of people, even someone like Chris Harris, goes, oh, yeah, Mark 1 Focus is great. But I couldn't tell you why. I could just tell you it's great.
It's great chassis.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But I could tell you. Yeah, it felt fun.
What does that mean? I hate that. It's a great chassis.
It's a good rig.
Chassis. Well, the thing is, the other thing to remember is that when they're saying that, they're on about a completely standard car.
Yeah.
Like when someone says,
it's new as well.
If you take, again, someone correct me if I'm wrong here, it may well be, it means taking a completely standing car and go, well, that's a really great handling car, it's got a great chassis, and then you modify the living hell out of it. You are improving it, potentially, but it's not the same thing anymore.
Of course.
But then, could you then just improve any car? And again, there are limiting factors, like a car might be very, very short or not wide enough or whatever, but it's like, could you not just make anything?
I don't know what that means.
But that's
why does it matter if the chassis is good? Because the chassis doesn't move. The chassis is solid.
But it does. That's like, for instance, this is my whole argument against MX-5s. Because if you drive a standard MX-5, they are not good. It's not a good car.
But you're not,
they're wobbly. They don't, like, again, this is starting to get into that language, but they're not confidence inspiring. If you go into a corner in an MX-5 at some speed, it feels loose as hell. Now, granted, I've owned only MX-5s that have had 700 owners, and I'm sure a new one's much better, but they're good when you put coilovers and you put a turbo and you put anti-roll bars and you do suspension. Then I'm like, oh yeah, this actually feels good.
So when they say chassis, they mean suspension.
Yeah, that's basically.
Well, and that makes sense.
It's
but why not say suspension?
But chassis can be, because a convertible is more floppy than a car with a roof. Naturally.
How can you feel it's floppy?
I think chassis is normally like everything. Because suspension, you could say the suspension's good, but that could be that could be the ride, if you know what I mean. Whereas like the chassis, you're kind of saying that the dampers, the springs, the all the bushes, the anti-roll bars, that all of those things have come together to make a very good chassis.
Mm. If you go over a bump in a very old wobbly convertible car, you will feel the front twist at a different rate to the rear going over the bump. Because it's not connected, you will feel it. I think they call it scuttle shake.
Scuttle shake.
Yeah, because you literally feel the car go over the bump, and it doesn't feel good. That is, but that's tangible to me. Hmm. Saying like the maybe it's just a time thing. Maybe the more time you spend, honing your craft,
with anything. I remember listening. I think it was Chris Harris who said this. Basically, saying when he was a younger journalist, he would do any like press launch or any press car that came in, whether it was a tiny little city car or a massive SUV, so you could go, I know what everything drives like.
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing, is you only know as much as what you've already driven.
Of course,
And also it depends what you last came out of. If you step out of a brand new, like a Ferrari F80, and then you step into that 205, the 205 is going to feel naff.
Mm.
But then if you do that, like step out of the E55 and step into that, it's always... whatever
relative,
you're comparing it to.
Which is why lots of people, and it's a classic video, is like Henry Catchpole had that 182 Clio.
Yeah.
That he said no matter what, he would always drive the Clio in the middle before driving something else as a palate cleanser to cleanse your palate. But yeah, I'd love to be better at it, but I think I'm too... What I glean from cars is a feeling, not something, what do you call it? Not tangible, but something that's like, oh, this turning is X. I don't get that.
I think some of it is made up as like, not made up, but that they can't explain it enough, because you can't, like, it depends what roads are you driving it on, how old is that car, there's so many different things that could, and that means someone else has a different experience. I have experienced it in, like, I drove my girlfriend has a Mach 7 Fiesta, 8 Fiesta, and when I drove that, I was like, this is a normal car, but it just drives well. It's like there's something about it that it's not, but you get in a sort of either a cheaper equivalent and they just feel a bit looser.
Yeah.
The ride is worse and they feel soft and a bit baggy. Again, using words, baggy.
Yeah.
The hell's baggy? That's for trousers.
This car is baggy.
Like my trousers. Is there any other industry that has that kind of waffle?
What is
our... people do it with like phones and go, now the screen feels baggy.
Yeah.
It feels...
It's really razor sharp coming into the corner of this phone.
Yeah, the phone, as I brought it to my ear, I realized how sharp the quality was.
But mad respect if you're an automotive journalist, mad respect to you because we've now done, not saying we're anything close to automotive journalists, but we've done bits and bobs, and it's harder than it looks.
Yeah,
because there is also a car.
For anyone who, for people listening, I guess, this podcast, there are a lot of like, I'm going to say influencers. And this was more like sort of like 5 to 10 years ago with YouTube, where you could give them any car. And they go, this is amazing.
Mm.
Because if you're being given a free car, so I respect journalists in a way that they can, at least many can, take a car and go, I don't like this.
Yeah.
You've been given a car by a manufacturer, but you understand you have a job to not just go, this is amazing.
And the hotel was lovely.
And
the food was amazing.
Honestly, and the gift they gave me. But there is that thing now. I actually kind of think car journalism is kind of dying because of that. because manufacturers, of course, they're going to want that. They want influencer John with 10,000 followers to go, oh my God, guys, you should all rush out and buy the Suzuki Carry 1.3 because nothing gets any better than this. Hashtag ad.
Which, and it's easier, especially like in our industry, it's easier for us. We have something like a 60-second integration.
Yeah.
We have a section in the video that is now, here's the ad time.
Yeah.
This is, you know that this is sponsored. This is a sponsored segment. Whereas automotive journalists have to walk the line between getting invited back and not being a prick to the you know, manufacturer, but also explaining it in a way that is true to what you mean.
Yeah.
So it's a hard industry. I can imagine.
Chris Harris has been banned from Ferrari stuff.
Was it multiple times? Saying bad twice.
About, yeah.
Yeah.
But that it is what it is. And I don't think there are many that would do that, but the best of the best. It's a reason why they're there. Nürburgring. Oh, sorry. Just a sudden move on, but we will move on from that. Otherwise, we'll go on for ages. Nürburgring crash. Something that happened recently.
So this is a few days ago for us. There is the reason I wanted to put it in there is so the other day there was an 8-car pileup, I believe. I can't remember the exact cars, but there's some GT3s in it. There's some expensive stuff, and I believe it was an oil crash once again, which is tends to be what happens when the big pileups come in. Because if you don't know, if you're on a racetrack, a very smooth surface, and there's some oil on it, you don't have a choice in whether you're crashing or not. Mm. You can be one of the most talented drivers on earth. You will end up sliding. But it brings about the bigger conversation is how much longer will the Nürburgring be something that you or I can just go and drive on? Because that crash was that day. And then you said there was a death.
I think the day before. In the days before.
And then a week or so ago was the M2 and the GT3 RS, which is, regardless of who you believe is at fault, there's someone at fault there. It was not a racing incident. It was, that could have been avoided. How much longer is the Nürburgring going to be allowed? In which case, sad.
But also, well, I don't think it would ever get banned.
I mean, tourist days where you can just go on, pay a ticket and drive on would probably be phased out and replaced by track days, which are paid days. You have to be on a list. You have to pass safety tech, all that sort of stuff, which you don't have to do for a normal Nürburgring Touristenfahrten.
It does baffle me that is still allowed. And I'm not trying to be sort of, you know, nanny state, wrap everything in cotton wool thing, because I think with some control, it can work. But I'm surprised in this day and age that something like that still exists, because you have a road, which is what it is, right?
When
you
it's a toll road,
right? It's not an actual thing. A lot of people don't understand that about the Nürburgring. It's a big track day, where most of the time it's a toll road that anyone could... No helmets. Even when we did the GP circuit, that wasn't even like a proper track day again, or was it?
They were time sessions, but
again, no helmet.
No helmet.
Which is like, again, wearing a helmet is whack, and you look silly, and it's just annoying because it removes all your senses.
Yeah,
but you have a crash without a helmet.
There's a good reason.
It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm surprised it has lasted as long as it has.
But it's a catch-22 because it's a public toll road, well, you don't need helmets. You shouldn't have helmets because it's a road. Mm. You should be treating it like a road. But that is the issue. I think you speak to Misha, you speak to anyone that's there. The issue is people going, treating it like it's their private track day, not like it's a place to just explore some of your car's performance.
Yeah.
And it's what we've said multiple times whenever anybody's going there that we know. Not that we're experts at all. We've probably done 5 laps between us. But just treat it like it's a fast B road that you're allowed to open it up a little bit more on.
Yeah.
And you will be fine. Move out the way, just like on the normal road. Imagine you're a tractor. Get out the way of people if they're coming up behind you. Let them pass. Let them do what they need to do. Because it seems like other than oiling down the track, which is still avoidable by you checking your car. But hey, things happen. Cars explode. Cars don't always work. We know that well. Outside of that, it's human error. Mm. It's you acting like you're a big dick and
people go, it's the Nürburgring, isn't it? People go there and think, I'm going to be,
I'm
the hero. I'm the main character.
Today, I am Misha.
Today, this is me.
Yeah.
No, this whole thing came about me.
But also, so there's, am I right in saying on a tourist day, there is no like scrutineering as such? No. I know at a track day, they don't check much, but they can at least have a look at a car and go, oh, your car.
So your car must be road legal. That is the...
So like any other road.
But there isn't anything to check that. Just like on a road, you don't get onto the M25 and they go, hold on, Those ties, mate. Tell me about those ties. Those recent? Nah, off get off.
Track.
They don't do that. So it's similar in that same way where it's on you to make sure that your car is road legal. You must legally have it fine, but there's no one to enforce it.
It's mad in Germany when you think Germany is one of the strictest, at least from what I've seen, countries on modifications. And like it sounds way worse than here.
Oh, but I had this thought the other day, and it's something for a proper podcast discussion. England is one of the most lax automotive cultures for modifying cars. We get away with murder.
Mm.
America, granted, America is kind of the standard.
Yeah.
You may build a scaffolding pole, put an LS in it, show them a VIN number in Florida, and they will go, oh, man, go
God
try
damn,
it.
That thing runs, man.
England's not like that, but you can get away with a lot. You can do stupid engine swaps. You can then tell the government and put it on your V5 and they go, fine, fine, do
your
what you
classic
want.
Classic cars that are exempt from tax and
whatever.
Whereas in Europe,
like in Germany, you must have TÜV certification on everything.
Yeah.
And I think, again, this might be worth us getting a Misha or someone on, but the sentiment that we've heard multiple times is that it's not the Germans crashing and it's not the Germans taking the piss.
Yeah.
It tends to be, just like always, English people and people from abroad coming over and going, it's a big holiday. I'm going to go 900 mile an hour through here. Mm. Watch this. And crashing. Which, you know, they pay the price for. That's the other thing with the Nürburgring. I'm not going to say it keeps Nürburgring in business, but it's part of the business to pay for what you damage. Because it's a public road, just like you would anywhere else.
Also, like for that inconvenience, they have to make... It's not a charity.
Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, mate, I've just ruined half your track. You might just head off. No, you're honestly, good. You're good.
No, just take your bits and go.
Yeah.
It's honestly, we'll get the car off.
Do you want our driver to ring home? We can get him home if you want.
England. Oh, we can get it there.
Yeah, free.
We can send
free
it
of charge.
Just fire it over any cannon.
but equally, it would be very sad if tourist days close.
Yeah.
Because the track days would then become a lot more busy. Mm. The prices would be hiked up on those. And I think it's also a bit of car culture, without sounding too wanky, but it is a thing. It's a rite of passage for people.
I want to
go to the ring.
Like a holy grail place.
Yeah, and do a lap. So it'd be sad. I'm hoping it doesn't happen, but the amount of crashes and things that have happened in the last year is...
Yeah. Also, from being there, like when we've been, I think I've been twice now, the feeling of being there is great. It's
incredible.
Like almost like Forza Horizon spec, where everyone's there in their cars, like-minded people. It's a really nice vibe. But equally, not worth that if people are just going there on holiday and dying.
Yeah.
It's not worth it at all.
Yeah, it's weird though, because it's a line that can't be drawn by anyone themselves. No, like, governing body can choose. It is on the people going. And I'm not saying any of us are like too good to crash, if that makes sense. I don't want it to sound like we're like, oh, these people crashing, idiots. It's going to happen. On a balance of probabilities, someone's going to crash.
Mm.
But it seems like there are so many avoidable things that we speak to like Misha and Baz about, and they're like, yeah, it's just a person being an idiot that has caused it.
Just a concentration, someone doing something dumb, going too quickly for what they can do or for the weather or whatever.
You could be as safe as possible, but you throw a little elbow delete in there
and off you go.
How much, I don't know how much a Nürburgring track, like a big track day is.
I don't know that.
In my head, the size of the track means it'd be thousands.
That's £1,000 a lap, mate. Off you go. Well, I mean, if you think about the price of a Nürburgring lap is 25 to 30 euro a lap, from memory, is what we cost. It's, if you think about the amount of driving experience you get, the amount of time on a track you get for the value, it's decent.
It's pretty
good. It's a good amount of time. You're getting a 10-minute drive.
Yeah.
Let's say you're in a transit van, so you're a 959.
Mm. Trying to get it under.
That's a reasonable amount of money, 25 euro to do it.
Yeah,
see a lot of people complaining, going,
even the GP, we did the GP track. That was a Formula, was a Formula One track. That's a cool track. I mean, that was the same-ish, like 15, 20 euros or something?
I think because we paid for the session, I think it was like 100 and something euro.
Was it?
But still, it was
I thought it was cheaper than that.
I might be wrong.
I want to say that was like 30 euros max.
Also,
because it was like a 10-minute session. It was also it was also like perfectly organized. It's not like when you do a track day here. And again, some of them are different, where you go on a track day and you go, right, everyone go out.
Yeah.
Everyone just go and do your thing, and then you get caught in load traffic and different experienced people. We went out with a sort of a group of people that meant we were never like held up by
and
a
we
massive
staggered.
Group.
Yeah. So it was, but yeah, I mean, it is a, I'm hoping it's not something that comes to fruition, but hey, we got to be more smart, all of us.
I'm doing track day next month.
Same.
Yeah.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bedford for a thing called How Fast.
And that's the timed one.
It's a timed one, yeah. Me and my dad did it years ago because there's a leaderboard as well, which is like permanent. So it's
in what car?
For years. Well, hopefully the McGann.
Ooh.
With its disconnected brake pipes. So maybe I'll be the person shutting down Bedford. No, I've got it booked in for, I want to say it's the 23rd or something. They do a thing called How Fast, which is the only time I've actually seen it. For anyone who hasn't done a track day, most track days don't need time.
Yeah.
Because when you start timing things, that's when people start to crash.
Same thing with Nürburgring.
And take it very, very competitively, blah, blah, blah. You're at a track day to have fun, test your car out, not race.
Yeah.
But this is the thing, they figure you all out in the sort of morning and tend you out and go, okay, these are your times. This is how fast your car is. We'll put you in this group of people. And like the Nürburgring GP, you go out and, but they send you out with a group so you don't get held up by people. Because again, it's timed. So you don't want to be out in your GT3 RS and Ben's out there, like, you know, flashing behind you, trying to get him out of the way.
I mean, you'd have to move out of the way of Ben.
You would, that's true.
Like Ben would be flashing you and you'd be very, very upset. But yeah, I can't wait for that. If I make it.
I'm surprised, Ben, that you haven't, because you, look, let's not beat around the bush. You're the fastest on the track. Yeah, and I don't even mean that with any sense of sarcasm.
I do.
I think you've got to get on the track, man. I think you've got to get some track days booked.
Let's do some nutrition.
Again, as we always say, you teaching other people.
If you could let me know how.
No, I would like to do one of those days where you go out in an actual track prepped car and you have someone shouting hard into the corners.
Honestly, I think you'd be better off just getting tuition in your own car. Because then they would probably allow you to unlock the potential of your vehicle.
You know what? This sounds like I'm doing an advert for this. I'm absolutely not. But the How Fast thing I'm doing, you can go there. I think they have caterums and something else where you go, I want to do it in those. Because it's cool. Then you've got other people who have driven the exact same car. But you can do tuition. I will say some tuition at track days can be naff. It will be, you know, you want to break there and left. It's not actually about driving or car control. Like
showing you how to drive.
It's how you safely drive that track.
Yeah.
And not necessarily, which I guess isn't it? They don't want people flying around like.
Yeah. Ben, there's got to be some creamers listening who do tuition. Get in contact with Ben. See if there's if there's something you do. Because I reckon, Ben, you got chops. You got chops in some, doing some, Ben's our stig.
Perhaps they're like the McLaren Formula One team are listening.
Hold on. Ben's last name. It's not Rogers, it's Collins.
Ben Collins.
Crazy.
The Stig.
I think he was the Stig.
He might not be.
Like, let's not get to it.
Not confirmed, is it?
He's never mentioned it.
No.
Have we mentioned the Ben Collins thing that happened?
Oh, that's a tough one. Right, that is a tough, right. You know what? I'll talk about it, but just know that it doesn't take much, it does take a lot to embarrass me. Ben, you'd agree over the years.
Evan doesn't care.
I don't care, but this one hurt. We were at Supercar Driver, and we had been wanting to film the On the Top Dead Center YouTube channel, the video where we drove the GI Yaris against a Lancia Delta. And one of the Deltas that we had lined up dropped out like 2 or 3 days before we were supposed to shoot the video. And then the next day we were going to Supercar Driver. Walking around, we see Ben Collins, the Stig from Top Gear, happens to own a Lancia Delta Integrale. And through Auto Alex, we know Ben. We've met Ben a few times.
We spoke to him on the phone on one of our first podcasts on Auto Alex.
But very briefly.
Yeah.
Like, we don't know him like that.
Yeah, no.
And we were standing on the side of the track, and Will looked around. I was looking at Ben, and then Will looked over and said, oh, how are you doing? And
I shook his hand.
And Ben Collins walked over and shook Will's hand. Now, in my head, I thought, cool. So Ben Collins remembers us. He knows what we're doing. He knows us. And I, also, me being me, I will just be brazen. And I said, oh, how you doing, Ben? Can we drive your Delta tomorrow for a video? And Ben Collins looked at me. He looked me up and down and went, why would I let you drive my car? And walked off. And I kind of stood there in a bit of shock. And then went, he has no idea who we are. And I realized I've just asked a man, to him at least, he's just seen two fans gone over and shook their hand, and one of them's gone, can I drive your Lancia Delta, mate? Can I drive your Pride and Joy, please?
I felt it because I sort of assessed the situation from outside, because he came over and I shook his hand. I was like, you all right, Ben, how are you? And he greeted me as if he'd never seen me in his life.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, this isn't going to go well. And then you,
I didn't see that.
Came in with can we drive your car tomorrow, your precious automobile tomorrow? And he responded with that. And Now there is a minor possibility that he's got that humour.
Yeah,
he's got that level of almost acting.
Yeah,
where he can go like, you know what, I'm going to act like I don't know these people. It's possible,
but no, there was genuine confusion from him of, why the hell would I let you drive my car?
Also, we're not saying that Ben Collins should know who we are.
No.
We're also not having a dig at Ben Collins. I don't want this to turn into Ben Collins didn't know who the TDC guys were. It was just quite funny.
But in my head, I was like, you know us. We met you, Ben. Mom! Mr. Pigman, I thought you
So Ben Collins, please, you're probably not listening.
That genuinely, that knocked my confidence. And then we saw Dizzy Rascal, and I was fully prepared. I was like, all right, I'm going to go up and ask Dizzy Rascal if we can do a video at some point, because that would be incredible. And I just didn't, because I was like, I can't go through that twice in a day.
It's not good. Dizzy Rascal would be a great guest. Ben Collins is banned now.
Who's that? I don't know.
Was he this?
Why would I let him on my podcast?
What?
Well, I'm sorry, Ben Collins. What else? Have we got anything else?
Ben, have you got any forums?
You can end on a forum. Lovely. Lovely way to end. Nasty way to go.
This is from Ben
Collins.
Ben Collins
said, why did you come up to me?
Can someone recommend YouTube channels in the automotive space to me?
This is on YouTube. This is Bennett FC 5867. Fan forum question. What is your driving pet peeve? Something so small and insignificant but really annoys you when this occurs. Mine is a stone in the tread of my tire causing an annoying tapping, clipping noise.
Classic.
Keep up the great work, guys. From Big D Creamer.
That's a crazy one.
Stone one, that's a good one.
Have you ever pulled over to get stones out your tire?
No.
Because I've done that multiple times.
I pulled over to see if it was a nail.
But then left it in there?
I go, oh, it's only a nail. Thank God.
Oh, no stones in
it
there.
It happens here quite a lot because our driveway for the unit is gravel, and I get down the lane and I have the windows open in the summer. I'm like, oh, that's lovely. I'm leaving and I'm like, oh, car is
L. Car's broken.
Yeah, dog is dead. And it's just a stone.
It's just a stone
every
time.
We talk about pet peeves almost weekly.
Yeah.
So you can just scroll back through the last 42 podcasts for any of those. The thing we spoke about, I think, in the last couple of ones was a wobbly wheel. Steering wheel or ever so slightly off steering wheel.
That's what was mine.
I would almost rather have a wheel completely off.
And I 100% agree. I genuinely fully agree. It annoys me so much. Because I'm always taking wheels off cars. I'm swapping them or I'm doing alignments. I get so angered by it. The E55 over here, we had to disconnect the steering coupler to do the exhaust headers. Now, we did do some suspension stuff, but I'm fairly sure it's out of tooth on the thing, which means even if we go and get that aligned, which it does need an alignment, I have a feeling it's going to be off by one. And the only solution, because some of the steering racks, maybe Merc people will know, some of them aren't splines that you can change. They have a lock in the middle. Yeah. You can only go one way, which would mean removing the exhaust system to fix. I might have to do it. I may have to do it because it annoys me so much. I can't stand it. I can't.
It is one of the most, that and a slight vibration really annoys me.
Also, when a wheel's a little bit off, sometimes if it's like quiet on the motorway or something, just to appease myself, I'll just hold it straight for a bit. It will veer me towards the off the road, but just for a moment, I'll go, oh, there it is.
The only time I quite, you know, when you go like, you go around the just the right bend on the motorway.
And it's straight.
For being straight. Yeah. I'm like, oh, it's actually quite nice. It's like being on autopilot.
Jarvis, turn this corner for me.
Yeah, that's it. What else is there? Windscreen wipers annoy me. When they don't, or bad ones, like if I get in a car and A, it doesn't have any windscreen like washer fluid in it. B, if it does have washer fluid in it, it means I have to use it. So I just hate it in general. And then C, using it means making that stupid wipe mark. And then whatever's next after that is if you get a wiper blade that only does the top of the windscreen. Now, that's my fault because I haven't changed the wiper blade.
Probably gave us a moment to discuss with our partner.
I don't like wiper blades.
Mine's a wheel bearing, but not when it fully goes, when it just starts to go.
And
you get the little
monkeys for no reason.
But yeah.
Why is that?
Because I've had it happen.
Why is that like currently?
I've had it happen in my cars before.
What about the X5? Currently got that little.
Speaking of, I'm just looking over to the corner. Not one for the audio or video listeners. Will, can you tell us about the big white mark on the top of your Range Rover?
I absolutely demolished a pigeon this morning.
Now, but the reason I bring this up, I'm not bringing this up just for, you know, RSPCA trying to track us down, is we talked...
pet pigeons.
A couple of weeks ago, Benjamin said, hold on, pigeons are government drones. Now, what you said, Will, when you hit that pigeon, it made a noise.
So I was doing 70 on the M40, and a pigeon, you know, when they sort of, it came in like a fighter jet, banking right, but I could see the base of, I could see its wingspan, and I could see its ass, and its feet, and it just wasn't fast enough, and I couldn't do anything, and I pinged it off my roof.
Bro hit the header like he was going for the World Cup.
And it made the noise it literally made. It made a ting. It was so like I made the most
made a metallic.
It was a metallic.
Now that is. But so Ben, Ben's just waving goodbye to Chris. This is the one downside of doing this in a car park, essentially. Yeah. Is people leaving at the end of the day. But Ben, there is the government drone. It's not a pigeon. It's not made out of meat. It's made out of metal.
I didn't see a puff of feathers or anything in my rearview mirror. I think it lived.
Wow. Because looking at it over there.
But one of the worst cars to hit a Range Rover. You are literally just hitting, it's like hitting a wall at 70.
The mark on it is really quite impressive.
It's just white.
You know, you know when you throw a wet football at a wall and it just leaves that kind of, circular mark. It is. Oh, sorry. Ben's just leaving.
Ben's off. I actually haven't inspected it.
Oh, Ben's getting a photo of it. Okay.
Thought maybe it shit its pants as it hit me, but I don't think that it.
But you had sort of like
powdered
up
meth pigeon.
But you said you had full view of its anus.
Yeah, no, it came across me like that, and because I didn't see where the impact. I thought I'd have a dent.
Yeah.
The noise it made.
Can you confirm? Sort of, does it have a dent at all?
Dent. Am I dented my roof with that pigeon?
Sorry, this is
because whoever makes the government drones, we'll have to.
We're not delirious today, but it's a little bit haphazard.
No dent.
Podcast.
No dent.
No dent.
No dent. Clear. Now, okay, this is very off topic. How long are we at?
An hour and 1 minute and 29 seconds.
Okay, I want to just add this. This is a completely off topic, but semi-related story. Will, do you remember at the old Car Throttle office, there was, now, unfortunately, this is a someone who is in the car world, so they may remember it to this day. Someone came into the Car Throttle office for a job interview, and there was a glass room. Think like any startup tech firm. There is a glass door room that is glass on all sides.
This is early doors. Yeah.
And I can't remember if I was in or not. But anyway, this person said, I just need to use the toilet before I go into this job interview. They went into the toilet and they were gone for like 15 or 20 minutes. And then our office manager got a phone call, I believe, on the office line. Basically, someone was contacted and told, I'm locked in your toilet. I can't get out of your toilet. And so obviously everyone's, you know, quietly laughing. No, you don't want to be mean to someone. You know, it's an issue.
But he knew everyone's laughing.
He knew. Yeah. Anyway, someone went into the toilet to help get him out. And he was quite flustered. And he, perhaps like the pigeon, and he walked at great speed to get back to the meeting, which he was now late for, and walked face first into the glass door without realizing it was glass.
That was nice.
He didn't realize it was there. But the reason I say this is because literally after, now everyone in the office was like, whoa. He went home, he posted it on Twitter, the whole saga replay, saying it was quite funny, but I was also mortified.
Yeah.
But there is a photo somewhere. I will see if I can find it. A face print with lips, eyes, and everything. You could Jason Bourne could use it to get into a safe or something.
You could straight up get
facial recognition on it. And I remember thinking, wow, that's crazy how much transfers. I always thought if you hit an animal, would it get that?
Could I recreate it? From that? I'm convinced it lived as well. I'm going to say it lived because I don't think people would. I would be very upset if it did die. It's likely.
Pigeons.
It got hit at 70 miles an hour by a Range Rover.
We're going to say the pigeon's safe.
Well, I can't confirm or deny it's dead. If you are the pigeon, out.
If you know anything about anything at all.
You are going back that way, aren't you?
Yeah, I'll
keep an eye.
You
can have a look.
On the other side of the road.
Have a look.
No, he might be going home too. So he might be coming that way.
Oh, we get hit again? Oh, jeez. Nice.
Insurance details.
Yeah, good job on that this morning, you dick.
Yeah, he was going the wrong way.
Oh, he was.
Wrong way down a dual carriageway.
You can't just turn around on the motorway. He was going that way and he thought, I'm going the wrong way. I need to turn around.
Right, on that note, on that almost a delirious note. Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Roll Everything Around Me podcast. Guess what? I forgot to do something at the beginning of this podcast, which was say we're going to Monterey next week.
We are.
If you've listened this far and you're going to be in Monterey for Car Week, we're going to put together a couple of videos. There is going to be a link in the description of this where you can submit your car. If you are going to come to Monterey, add in the notes and location that you're going to be at Monterey, that you would potentially like us to drive your car. Mm. We might get in contact with you and say, yo, let's drive something. Let's do something. We'll film a video. Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Roll Everything Around Me podcast. We will see you next week live from the pool in Monterey, maybe. Maybe.
No, not next week.
No, not next week?
Still not next
God
week.
God damn it. I'm so bad at this.
I see you in a couple of weeks.
He's so excited.
I'm so excited. It's going to be so great.
We're going to do the podcast in the pool.
We're doing a podcast in the pool, mate. You're going to be floating around in that floaty.
Oh. I don't know if anyone wants to see that.
You can have a shirt on.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind.
All right. As always, cars roll everything around me. Cream get the money.
Dogs are belly old.
Pigeon.
Not anymore.